makes it easier to bear. You won't regret it, no, no. No, girl, they don't forget it. Love is their home, happiness,
ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode on Duane Morrell Podcast. Have here Jim D'Lo finally back with me, but nevertheless, I'm excited to get straight to it. Coach Bo Patton won two in a row against the Muster Mustangs, and he went to Crown Point, took care of business on the road. Good morning, Bo.
Duane, good morning. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. I'm here with Jim D'Lo and in the studio.
Hey, Coach. It's not just the one.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. You're on a roll. What's up?
I got a group of guys playing some good defense and sharing the basketball. So
defense?
That's a good thing. Anytime you can beat Crown Point is good.
Yeah, no kidding. You beat my Muster Mustangs in overtime, too. And you got to have some defense to play Mike Hackett there. You know, that's odd. I thought you were going to talk about all the scoring you guys are doing and all the beautiful offensive plays, but it's all based on defense. What are you doing to these guys in practice?
Definitely. It starts with defense. We say that our defense should be our best offense. So I tell our team, like, we got to sit here and execute all game. We're not going to be very good. We got to speed teams up. We got to turn teams over. We got to play fast and aggressive. And that's where it all gets started. You know, at the end of the game, we can execute, but, you know, we got to defend.
Coach, you had a lot of back and forth last night on the road with Clint Swan. What was the message to the team to continue to tell your guys, be consistent on each play and every possession matters?
Yeah, we've had a ton of close games, and our record is 8-4. And we had two big leads out in Fort Wayne, and we blew them. So, honestly, we kind of learned from those games. And I told those guys, going to DAC play, and the DAC is so tough this year. And a lot of credit to Crown Point. They play a ton of sophomores, Kingston, Dikembe, Mason. Those guys are going to be very good for the next couple of years. So, like you said, just telling every possession matters. We got a senior point guard who just controls our tempo very well, and a sophomore point guard. We got two point guards on the floor at all times. So they kind of understand how to take care of the ball and make the right plays. So we're very blessed to have those two.
Coach, you beat Chesterton too. We had the coach on of Chesterton recently.
Urban. He was there at the game last night,
yeah,
too.
It's really kind of a two-headed monster there with Sims and Parrish. What'd you guys do to slow them down?
Yeah, I don't know if you can really slow those two down. Parrish didn't get going to the fourth, I think, and Sims was just. We just were being aggressive. We put some guards on them in the post. We were just very physical with them. And it's honestly just a lot of credit to my guys. I got six seniors, and a couple of these guys play JV as juniors. So, you know, that's not a typical idea of what a kid wants to do. These guys just keep grinding it out. They want to win. Last year we didn't win a game in conference, so to play with that chip on our shoulder, it's just something this senior group is kind of fell in love with and just kind of rolling with it.
So I'm looking at the schedule for Bo Patton's Maryville Pirates. They got Portage, Valpo, Lake Central, and Michigan City are all conference matchups coming up. But right now you've got some big wins. Chesterton and Crown Point, of course, are right there. After not winning a conference game last year, that's a pretty big turnaround. What do you credit that for?
My seniors. It's all seniors and leadership. Last year, we had a good group. We could never turn the corner. This year, I got a four-year varsity point guard, Jaden Williams. He's 5'8 point guard who, honestly, was kind of up and down the first 3 years and, you know, never gave up, kept putting the work in. And he has just been great this season. He's going to get a couple scholarship offers here soon. So a lot of credit goes to him. And then some guys who just don't stop believing in their coaches. Because to go 5-0. To win no games in a conference is very tough. It's hard to keep kids motivated when you're losing. But, you know, just continue to grind. I got a great staff over here, and we just keep believing. Win or lose, we've been through this before. My first year coaching, we probably won 2 games in conference, 1 section before COVID hit. So we got some good experience of just grinding it out.
Coach, I was watching the guys' offense. You had them being relentless on defense, pressuring the ball. What's your coaching philosophy? I love that your guys get to the middle, penetrate, and find your shooters. You don't know which guy is going to have that night of a game. And I see mm-hmm. the camaraderie and the cohesiveness. What have you been preaching in practice, because it's been carrying over to your games?
Absolutely. So we got a motto: stay connected, stay confident, stay coachable. And then on offense, I got this from a coaching clinic, actually. In the past, I felt like guys were second-guessing shots. So I went to a clinic, and I heard a coach say, if you like it, take it. So if you like a shot, if you like a drive, or you see something, just take it. We don't want our guys second-guessing offense, and honestly, it's paid big dividends for our team. Guys get to play with as much freedom they want on offense. As long as you defend and rebound, you can take whatever shot you want. And guys know good shots versus bad shots, but it's paid a lot of dividends this year. I trust my guys in big moments. I haven't had to call a lot of timeouts, even when teams went on runs. So just that philosophy is stay connected, stay coachable, and stay confident.
Coach, you got these you said you had some guys that played JV last year. Who's that?
That's Keontae McKinney. What a big night for us. 14 points and 7 rebounds. And then I thought the guy who kind of won the game for us versus Chesterton, Shamar Matthews, they were both juniors on JV last year. He had 4 charges against Chesterton to kind of help us stage their runoff. So those two guys have been huge for us. 2 seniors, 2 guys who have been with the program since I've been the head coach. And I'm super proud of those guys.
Coach, you're in 5th year right now. And honestly, I think it has taken a little while to kind of take your philosophy to take hold. I covered Jim East over there, and as you well know, for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he kind of ebbed and flowed. He'd have the best team in the region, and then sometimes it would kind of not be there. Mm-hmm. What did you take out of that tradition that you're applying now?
Oh, everything. Jim East was my coach. Jim East taught me a lot about life, definitely taught me a lot about discipline. He was a no-nonsense guy. So we couldn't wear earrings, no braids, same color socks, same color shoes, same principles we still believe in today. Only thing we kind of took out was the hair rule. But Jim East was a great coach. He was a defense and offensive mastermind. So I took a lot from Coach East.
Marvin was the same way too, Bo, by the way.
Yep.
Before people take that out of context, Marvin was the same way. I couldn't wear a sleeve. You had to cover up your tattoo. Mm-hmm. So that discipline carries over, and we're seeing that right now.
Absolutely. Yep. It took a while for our guys to understand that. They thought when I got the job, you know, just going to be free and, you know, get to play for, I guess, the quote-unquote cool coach. And no, I mean, we have to get back to the roots, which are fundamentals and discipline. And that does carry on the win.
You know, I did not come out to Munster at Maryville, and part of that is to see 2 Jim East disciples coming at it. You got Hackett, of course, came out of Jim East's mold also, and so did you. Bo, where do you want to take this program?
you know the answer. My goal when I got here is to win the state championship. No boys basketball school in DAC, from my knowledge, has won the state championship. We got close in 1995 with TJ Lux.
I was there.
Yeah.
FEDAC,
yep.
And Lux.
Yep. Yes. 1 point away, and that is my goal. So I'm in year 5, and every year, good team, bad team, we're going to believe that we can take the steps to achieve that goal.
Outside of you guys, who do you think is the cream of the crop in the region right now?
Oh, man. Jim, it's a lot of good teams.
I know, isn't it? I mean, really, that's the answer, is there's a lot of really good teams, and I think a lot of people pick Chesterton as kind of stepping up.
Urban was at the game last night. Ben Linsky was at the game last night. Bo, you had East Chicago's head coach was there. You had a lot of coaches in attendance in the crowd, Bo, to watch this game last night.
Yep.
And it was a great game, too, by the way, because there was nothing going on in the region, and everything was postponed.
Why is there so much high-level parity right now?
It's some really good players in the region. Like I was going to say, like Lake Central is playing great basketball. Coach Sexton actually recruited me to Calumet College, and I almost went there just because of him. So I knew he would do a great job at Lake Central. Gary Westside, Chris Buggs got them playing very well. And they got a good young core with Reggie Hinton and those guys. Portage, Valparaiso, Jack Smiley, and Dominique Murphy are two of the best players in the area. So I think the talent level and
Bryce
level
Peters
is getting
too.
Back to where to be.
Bryce Peters of Maryville is really good. I saw that last night, first and foremost, Bo. I was very, very happy with what I saw, just how he playmaked and got his guys involved in a very selfless guard. I just wanted to throw that in there with some of the top catalysts here in the area.
Yes, I mean, Bryce doesn't get 20 points or anything a night, but if you look at our stats and our plus minus, he's always at the top. He just makes winning plays and impacts the game.
And you have another guard, too, that's carrying your team in assists throughout the state. Who's that player, Bo?
Yeah, that's Jaden Williams. He is tough. I'm fortunate because, you know, this team has been through some lumps the last 2 years. Like I said, last year we won zero games, and the year before that we won one game in conference. So just credit those guys. I mean, those guys have to stick with me or stick to the process, but they did, and thank God it's paying off.
Bo Patton. I know Bo's got people in his office waiting for him, so
yeah.
I don't know how much more time you have, Bo. Maybe Dwan and I will each get another question here.
One more.
Yeah, I got one, and I want to go right at the Doonlin right now. I mean, it seems like it's rotating. Valpo kind of ran it for a while. Chesterton, you guys have had your points at the, you know, where you're at the top. Speak specifically about the Doonlin. Why year in and year out, is it the coaching? Is it the number of kids that it is just so high level basketball?
I think it's a mixture, but it 100% absolutely starts with the coaching. I mean, we, like, even last night, I mean, Clint Swan was yelling out all our plays. Games are so well scouted. These coaches take time to watch film. And then the second part is the players. I mean, we've had some, I mean, in the past, we've had some great players. I played against Robbie Hummel, Scott Martin, Zach Novak at Chesterton, those guys. And this year, same thing, Jack Smiley. The Wellman kid at Portage, so Paris, of course, and Sims. So it's a mixture of great coaching and some great talent as well. You put those two things together, usually the Doolin has somebody that goes downstate, the semi-state regionals or something, just because we're well battle-tested, and it's always a good fight every night.
Bo, who was that team that you were like, finally, I got him? What was that feeling like when you beat Hackett at Munster? Because I respect Hackett so much, I have yet to have him on the radio. I'm going to continue to be resilient and get him on here. However, beating Hackett and beating the Swans of the world, those guys are going to be in the Hall of Fame. What was it like to be a young coach and step into their arena and get a W?
Yeah, I mean, it's always good. I respect those guys so much. I respect those guys not even so much for winning, but for staying in the coaching so long as they have. I mean, as you guys know, a lot of coaches are getting out of this profession. The money's, you know, it doesn't pay our bills. We got to deal with a lot of parent issues. You know, people say kids don't have the same drive and all this stuff. But I love what I do. I think I'll be a coach for a lifetime as well. And but that win, to answer that question, I hadn't beat Urban yet, but that was the win that finally.
Yeah, he was there scouting. I was looking at his notes. Yeah. I zoomed in with my camera because I was filming. And he was there taking notes.
Send notes to me. Yeah, send notes to me.
You know, I'm looking at the list of coaches. Mark Urban, Wells over at Michigan City. I think he started at Griffith like decades ago. You got Liskey in there. He's got a nice pedigree. And then, of course, Ryan Sexton and you, man. You are in with some real deans of coaching in the Doolin. It's a lot of pressure, but it's also a lot of people to learn and bounce things off of.
Exactly. And those coaches, you know, they've been good to me. Me and Urban text a lot. Me and Swan text a few times. And I used to go to Crown Point High School gym in the summer and play with, like, Stephen Albrick and Cal Hanaway when they were at Crown Point. So great coaches. And honestly, when I watch film, I learn things from those coaches and I implement in my team. So nothing but the best for the Doolin. And it's a great basketball program.
Well, I'm very appreciative of you, Bo. I appreciate you taking the time out of your morning coming on. I know I texted you yesterday. I was on the flight coming back, and I didn't know that I was going to be at the game until we got Next Hoops, who does a phenomenal job covering our kids as well, was there. And thank you, Bo, for all that you do.
Yes, Bo, I'll echo that. Hey, Bo, you brought up Robbie Hummel. We're going to put a shameless plug here for the Sportsmanship Dinner. He's going to be our speaker this year.
Nice.
Dwan and I are both.
Nice.
Yeah, he's going to be there on February 19th. What do you remember of Robbie Hummel?
Oh, man. Robbie Hummel, I never won a sectional because of Robbie Hummel and Scott Martin. But Hummel, I mean, he's a 6'6 guard. Almost unstoppable to stop in high school. Him and Etwan Moore, I mean, I had to play against those two guys. Kawan Short, Angel Garcia. I mean, these guys think they got it bad. I had it really bad coming up playing against those guys. And I'll always credit Robbie Hummel for stopping me from winning a sectional in high school.
Thanks a lot, Bo. We appreciate it.
Bo, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. See you, Dwan. Yeah, right. Have a good one.
What a great guy.
You can buy your tickets at sportsmanshipdinner.com. Dwan's brought Dwan in to help us out there. And Sam Michael's going to MC. And Robbie Hummel.
Tell Sam Michael keep his jokes light as an MC. You know, it's pretty sensitive right now, MCing the dinner.
Sam Michael doesn't have jokes, man. He's all business. And the IHSAA has agreed to put it on their statewide network.
That's awesome.
Ostensibly to watch Robbie talk.
And I could be there, and I know that because I cover an event on February 16th. I get to go to the East Coast this time, and hopefully, if weather permits, you know, I look forward to getting some New York deep dish pizza.
So every time you text me, you're like somewhere else, man. How come you're traveling so much?
I've been super fortunate to have some pretty good locations, except for going to Springfield, Massachusetts. It wasn't the best area. However, it was the Basketball Hall of Fame in that area. So I got to be in the same vicinity as Michael Jordan once was, Kobe Bryant of the world, Isaiah Thomas, all the Hall of Famers. I was just in basketball heaven. I covered 14 games, and my wrist was just pounding, like just hurting, because I was just holding the camera for 14 games and editing. And it was a great, great week of basketball.
Remind people what you do.
I work for Paragon Marketing Group, and I'm on the ESPN account. And being on the ESPN account allows me to cover some of the top players in the country and travel and post them on the ESPN social media. I run that page, which is the high school account, along with three other my coworkers, and it allows me to stay, you know, connected to the game. But the internet never sleeps, right? As soon as you refresh, it's a new topic, and I got to pick and choose which, you know, topic I'm gonna give my energy to. So I was down at the Basketball Hall of Fame. The only team around here that probably experienced that was Bosco. Dave Maravella took his program to the Basketball Hall of Fame a couple years ago. It was called Hoop Hall, and I got to see this past week was Ice Cube. He got a reward for having the big three, you know, that he has summer.
By the way, and Rob, we both talked about this. I love watching that.
Yeah, yeah. He got an Impact Award. Ice Cube was there, and he was giving out the MVP accolades to those who obviously stood out. And to see Ice Cube in real time and record him from my iPhone, it was so surreal because I watched all of his movies, and you know, I'm a huge hip hop head, and just to see Ice Cube next to me sharing the same court was something I never thought in my wildest dreams to see an iconic figure like that. So saw Carmelo, he was there. Jason Richardson, who played at Michigan State, his sons played with Carlos Boozer, which is Columbus High School out of Florida. And just to cover the basketball and then come back to the region to see Bo and Crown Point, you never forget where you're from. And it's nothing like going through the region and hitting the potholes or, you know, in traffic. And it was just great to see so much basketball in a short span. And one of my coworkers invited me to go to the Providence and DePaul game. So I was very thrilled, and I accepted that invitation. So it's basketball. Like,
oh, you had to drive over to Rhode Island?
No, they're playing
tonight. Here.
Yeah, they're playing
okay,
DePaul.
I thought you meant when you were out there. By the way, Boys in the Hood, that was the one.
Yeah.
Doughboy, that's what he was.
I got Friday. I wanted to bring I still got VHS tapes, so I'm not that far removed, right? And I wanted to get that signed, but to see Ice Cube in real time was a surreal feeling. He gave me more goosebumps than seeing Carmelo.
Really?
And the other person that I was shell-shocked was Brad Stevens. I walked past him, and I should have stopped him and let him know I'm from Indiana also. But those two people were the people that I really, like, made me shell-shocked over the week.
All right, can I do this? First of all, Maravilla is texting you up a storm on your phone right there. We're recording this podcast on January 17th of 2024. But if you're driving around right now and you're listening on the radio, WJOB in Hammond, you can call us at 219-845-1100 if you're a basketball fan. You got any questions for Dwan Marrero or me, Jim Diedlo. Hey, what happened in LaPorte? How good was that tournament?
You know, it was very competitive. I credit to WJOB and the team. I said this last week that you taught me how to be prepared in situations unguarded, right? I got a call because I was expecting to go film, right? So I'm making sure all my SD cards, my battery. They're like, hey, Dwan, we need you to do game analysis with Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey's my supervisor. So it's basically like him and I don't necessarily talk because our meetings are different, but we talk once a week. And so in that moment, I told him, like, hey, Harvey, I need you to take your VP hat off and come into the basketball realm, and we're going to just flow. And you taught me how to be prepped, and it was fun. I didn't know that I could elaborate and break down a game. He did play-by-play because he went to the University of Illinois, and he went to broadcasting school there. So he carried the load, and he made me feel comfortable. And him and I had great synergy, so I got to call Lalamir versus Wasatch. And then the game before that, I got to cover Sunrise Christian versus, like, IMG. And just to elaborate on the players and call the game in the Indiana was surreal. So,
you know, there's
– did you listen?
By the time I went to it, I was too late.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll go back and listen to it. But when you're doing color and analysts, and Rob, the producer here, is starting to announce some games.
Yeah, we talked about it last week.
You know, really what you're doing is you've got to take the cue from that play-by-play. And if they're good and they've been doing it a long time, they'll rhythm out. And then you've got to have something ready to talk about immediately. Like we talked about Hummel. Hummel's at the top of his game. He's like almost like number one or number two in college basketball analysts right now.
Right.
But you could hear it in his rhythm. And I wanted to look for your rhythm. Like you and I talk and we know each other, so
right.
We have a pretty good rhythm. But you kind of, I tell people, as soon as that ball goes through the basket and someone scores, it's yours as the analyst until the ball gets up across the timeline.
Right.
And you gotta say something every time. Hey, man, that was really, it's really changed the momentum that they've gone from, working the ball on around, taking a bunch of threes to throwing it down low, and he's able to get easy ones like right after that. And then, you know, you get about 10 seconds.
The attention to detail is so much more aggressive. Especially when, you know, you have 126,000 subscribers on YouTube, and I had to block out, you know, what would people think. And I was shooting a link for constructive criticism because I know that I didn't necessarily always do this, but it was a new high and avenue that, you know, my job allowed me and trust me to do. So that was three games that I had to cover from 2:30 all the way to 8:30. And it was great. I memorized the players. Obviously, it's easier when you film the kids.
Can never say number two.
Number two?
You know, like if somebody goes in and comes off the bench and number two comes in.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
you
that's
can't
when
say
you
that.
Know somebody's.
I gave so much criticism to Lalamir because they had dropped two home games. And one of my guys told me how aggressive I was because it's a coach's nightmare when you give up second chance and third chance opportunities and don't crash the glass because crashing the glass is all this effort. And Lalamir gave zero effort on the glass, and I was just hammering them. And it was great, though. I appreciate it.
Andrew Garcia was announcing a game, and he really went hard on refs recently. And I was surprised I didn't get a call, but it happens. I've done it. Kuziak got thrown out of Whiting, got thrown out of Andrean as an analyst.
Seriously?
Yeah. From the
Rob was telling me when we had Javier Heredia talk about his showdown, you know, recently because of the box score, and they lost the game to Olivet Nazarene, and Rob said he was calling that game, and I guess Hav was heated because they messed up the box score.
Hey, Rob, turn your mic on there. What, I did not hear that about Heredia. Did he go Kuziak?
I wouldn't say full Kuziak, but it was because the scorers table, so they were up by five with like 30 seconds left, The scores, Olivet's passing the ball in. IUN gets a steal, but the scores table set off the buzzer.
Oh!
So they called
it off. That happened in a D1 game the other day.
And they had to call it off. They had to repass the ball in, and they ended up getting a three, stealing the ball, get two back. So it went from a seven-point game to now a tie game with like 15 seconds left. Went to overtime. They lost.
Oh, how did Heredia handle that?
You know,
not well, probably, is my guess. Yeah,
I think he held it pretty well for the circumstances, but you could tell. I mean, that one, that hurt me watching it as someone who was calling it, so I could imagine being the head coach.
Hey, I got to ask you, have you been watching Rafe lately? You haven't.
I haven't.
I watch him all the time. So does my dad.
How's he doing?
He's not that he was not good in the past few years, because he was. It's always been a steady progression. But you know when someone's getting that confidence.
Yeah.
He looks right in that camera. And I texted him. I said, hey, man, you should have the confidence. You know these games. You know Purdue. You know the Big Ten. You know, and he's just like a guy with like a mission. And they throw it to him, and they know that he's going to give a minute or 50 seconds of just great basketball commentary, and then he's going to go back, and he knows the rhythm, and he's getting the confidence. I told him, I go, man, he's rising too. Him and Hummel both, yeah. You know, were they there at the same time? No, Hummel. Was a little before Ray Fowle, yeah. Right? Yeah, but he joked on he was on with us that there were times when the other team didn't guard him,
right?
Like most of the time,
right?
Because he was a defensive and a rebounder and so forth.
They always go under.
And I asked my dad about that. My dad knows Purdue basketball. Oh, he goes, oh yeah, Rafael could guard anybody from 6'10" to 5'10".
Right.
But he was, you know, he had trouble. He wasn't like a one-on-one player who was going to back you down or anything.
Right.
But in terms of sitting up there, and that's intimidating. Because you're on that Big Ten Network, and sometimes they've only had one game, and you got to make stuff up to talk about. It ain't easy, no, as you learned doing it during the game.
Starting here first year or two, you know, it's nervous with all these cameras. Right now I'm used to it, but the shots that I got up here prepared me for Laporte. And once you call a game and you get some confidence, and you kind of walk differently because you just called a game. And now when I see analysts or play-by-play, I go up to them and let them know, like, I respect what you do, because the preparation that you have to do to be prepared for these games, especially if you don't see these teams, is a whole different ball game. Luckily, I had an edge because I covered them and I was familiar with these teams. But if you just get a call and, hey, you need to cover this Purdue and IU game, and you really don't follow the Big Ten, it could be a long day for you.
You know, what we're talking about is LaPorte, Indiana, at the convention center, had Lalamir.
Sunrise Christian
and
IMG
and one other.
Wasatch. Yeah, for the.
I knew the other two, but I did not know what's Wasatch.
Wasatch is a powerhouse prep school out in Utah. I actually went to go visit that campus. It's like an hour and a half from Salt Lake. It's a school in the same lane as Lalamere. Probably less students. Very expensive to go there. But they have a powerhouse basketball team. They had a kid named John Mobley Jr. who's going to Ohio State. And they have a five-star kid named Chris Nwili. He was actually playing that game, and Isaiah Harwell. And very good basketball program. And they came down to LaPorte, Indiana, all the way from Wasatch. And it was great to watch them play and watch some really good basketball. Corner Canyon, which is a school out of Arizona, came down to LaPorte. And to see schools from the West Coast and the South come and play in the region, you know, I was bragging on air about the region and how WJOB prepped me for this first game when I called with Paul. And it was great. And it was one of those experiences where I told them, like, hey, you know, another opportunity presents itself, let me know. And I tip my hat off to Ray when he does this on a bigger scale as the Big Ten.
We're talking about Rafael Davis. He played at Purdue, and he's on the Big Ten Network all the time. He's been on here a number of times on WJOB, Jed TV, and on DeJuan's podcast.
And Purdue won last night.
And, yeah, I was going to say, did you watch it?
No, I was you know, covering the game last night, but I was keeping up with the score. And
Maryville game, yeah.
Yeah, and Zeedy just carried the charge, and it was a good win.
You know what? You know, I noticed this last night against IU. You think of him, his scoring and you know, being able to – nobody can drive in the middle. I mean, right. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, nobody can go in there because he's just going to block it. But a number of times yesterday, there was a ball that was like a 50-50 ball, right?
Right.
And you don't realize that he got all of them because nobody
– no one,
you
know, wants
no one else can
damage.
Get that high
yeah.
and get that ball. I mean, it was – what do you have? Did he have 18 rebounds again or something like that?
Well, he had to bounce back because of that game against – I don't know if they played previously, but I know the last game was against Nebraska and Fred Hoiberg. And they went down to Nebraska, and it was one of those games for Fred Hoiberg.
They got beat by, I consider, two really average guards,
and
man.
Edie was in foul trouble. Yeah.
And Tokahama, I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hoiberg's kid, they just ripped them up, and it was hard to watch.
Painter, what do you think about – so I always enjoy listening to post-game from the coach that lost, because you'll get the raw emotional answer and all that one, that 10 minutes. And he said that, you know, teams need to be prepared for these courts being stormed when you play us. You know, what do you think about that?
You know, I think Kuziak talks a lot about this, and that is that if you're number one, number two, Purdue's getting used to this. Once
right.
they got to be number one, what, 2 years ago? Remember they
right.
lost to Ron Harper's kid, hit a half-court shot, Rutgers. And they weren't used to traveling around the Big Ten or even have the teams come in. If that team beats you, they might go to the tournament. Their
right.
whole season is on that game right,
right.
there. And you could feel it in Nebraska. Nebraska might get in the tournament just for beating Purdue.
Absolutely.
Because Purdue, honestly, they'll probably lose one or two more, but that's about it, hopefully.
Right.
Maybe two more. They'll go into the tournament with four losses, and they'll be the number three or four number one seed. That's the best we could really hope for. But they'll be right up there. And to be able to put that on your resume, in the entire fan base, I mean, Nebraska was like, it was like 9 degrees with 30-mile-an-hour winds, and it was snowing at like 1 inch an hour.
That was their biggest win.
And the game started, and it was about half full because nobody could get there.
Right.
5 minutes into the game, it was two-thirds full. 10 minutes into the game, you couldn't find a place to watch the game.
Right.
Those people braved one of the worst weather games to get there, and it meant that much to everybody. But if you're playing against that every night, there's no reason you should go in the first game and lose to Fairleigh Dickinson.
Right, absolutely. I mean, now they have Lance, who is from
– Jones.
Lance Jones. I went to SIU's game against Valpo because they have the number two scorer in the nation that came to the region. His name was Xavier Johnson, and he lit Valpo up. But to see Purdue in this state, some games you just don't know. And like IU's game, I had IU winning because they were at Assembly Hall, right?
They were 9.5-point underdogs.
That's why I went with IU. I was like, okay, Assembly Hall, Woodson's going to bounce back from Rutgers.
Scoat Assembly Hall, are you kidding, man?
Woodson was going to bounce back from Rutgers because you saw that game against Rutgers. Coach was thrilled, right? But I always say going to the East Coast, man, is a different type of basketball. And a lot of our Indiana teams struggle when we go to the East Coast. It's not fun, and it's not easy basketball going against their guards because their backcourt is like 94 feet all game. And so when Woodson lost, my buddy texted me and was like, man, Rico, you need to see the score right now. So what do you think the State of the Union is right now for IU? And
IU has – Xavier Johnson has to get better.
Right.
That's it. Trey Galloway played well, Kalel Ware down low, and Mbako, those guys are good players. But they miss, they don't have a point guard.
Right.
How do you play without a point guard?
Need a floor
Trey
general.
Trey Galloway's like 6'7". He's not a great dribbler. And he doesn't see the floor like a quick point guard would. He needs to be on that wing. What, he scored 16, 18 points last night?
Right.
He could have had over 20, 24 if he didn't have to have the ball all the time. And you need to set up Galloway, and you need to set up Ware. And I just don't think that they have the – no one sets them up. They don't have anybody. Cups, Cups is also just an outside shooter. Yeah. Cups is Spike Albrecht in another look, man. By the way, what's he doing right now?
He's just working. I think he's in the medical field. He tweets a lot. His tweets get a lot of engagement. He picked that up, that he's very known now. He's always been behind the scenes. Like, he'll tweet here and there, but now he's, like, kind of really engaged talking hoops. So I'm trying to wheel him back in at some point, because I'm like, hey, if you're talking hoops, you might as well just, you know, get out of the metaverse and, you know, in person rather than coach a team. And
yeah, he's got that. Remember, I think we interviewed him, yeah. And we're like, dude, when are you going to, you know, you're perfect coach material. You know, I want to make some money.
But, yeah, he's.
But did you see, you watch all these Purdue games, and they're, like, on Fox, and they're, like.
And Peacock.
And Peacock, they're national games now. And you notice Sasha's in there on every one
I
of those.
Still, man, he's I try to do an impromptu. I text him, like, Sash, great win, see if he responds. But he's probably watching film, and Painter has him working relentlessly. And
but he's, you know, Brantley. I think Brantley's kind of got a narrow lane where they want him. He's good on he's good in somebody's kitchen table.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, him and Painter, from what I understand, and I've never seen it, him and Painter talking to a family about bringing their kid there. I mean, it's hard to beat that, right?
It is.
And, you know, he works with the bigs. But you see Sasha talking to everybody, man. He's a typical region guy that played basketball that, quite frankly, can't be quiet.
It's a great fit for him. And, you know, kudos to Purdue and the maturity of their team, because going to Assembly Hall when it's sold out, right, you're in Bloomington, and you're able to stay composed, and Fletcher Lawyer has 19 points coming off the screen, doing whatever he wants. That shows a lot of maturity in the preparation going in on the road. And to see P.J. Thompson tell the offense, hey, this is the offense we're running, and Painter gives him the green light. Both of them stand up at the same time almost on the offensive end. It shows the camaraderie that Purdue has, and it's really good to see, actually.
So you're traveling everywhere. Give us a couple players that you know are going to be a major impact on college basketball in the next couple of years that we don't know about yet.
His name is Takari Harris. He plays for Grayson out of Georgia, and it's Glenn Robinson's son. And I just found that out per Purdue's basketball Twitter when he committed to go to Purdue. Takari Harrison, I overlooked him when he was at the event. And I was like, this is Big Dog's son, Grayson.
Grayson.
Yep.
He goes to Grayson?
Yep, right. Grayson High School.
All right.
And he's going to Purdue. He's going to the Big Ten. And Jakari Harris, I apologize. And he's going to the Big Ten. And he's a guy that is about 6'5", 6'6", has Big Dog's face. And I got a chance to watch him.
Is that good?
He's solid. He's
What's good about his game? He's coming to Purdue?
He's coming to Purdue.
Where are they going to play him?
He's a combo guard. He could step out.
That's what it says right here.
He's
combo guard. 6'4".
Yeah.
180. He's little.
And so.
How quick is he?
Pretty fast. He reads the defense well, plays with a lot of energy, blue collar player. What I love most about him is that he dives on the floor for 50-50 balls. He plays the gaps. And he can make you pay if you go under the screen. So it was my first time getting to watch him play. But that is Big Dog's son, per Boiler Ball on Twitter. And it was nice to see him play. And then you have the two kids that are going to Rutgers, who's in the Big Ten, is Ace Bailey. He goes to McEachern in Georgia. And then Dylan Harper, who plays for Don Bosco Prep out in Jersey. So those two guys are going to Rutgers that I got to see. And Jason Richardson's son, Jace Richardson, is going to Michigan State. So with all the high-level basketball that I get to cover, a lot of these kids are going to the Big Ten, and it's just really nice to see, because I get to forward that to Raphael, tag him in the tweet, and he retweets it because it's, you know, it's dedicated to the Big Ten, and he gives me another amplified tweets because of his engagement that he gets. So,
out of all that you're seeing at this level, who's the best you've seen coming out right now?
I would say it would be Cooper Flagg. Cooper Flagg, who's who goes to Montvert, he's going to Duke. And then there's another kid, Derek Queen. Derek Queen is he's another big 6'8 kid. IU is in his tops. But Cooper Flagg's the real deal. He's the number one player in the 2025 class. and being able to watch him and just him being a celebrity in the high school world and his NIL evaluation is, I consider myself now a TMZ guy, right? So wherever he goes, I got to follow him with my phone to his face. And, you know, he knows nothing about me, which is totally fine, but we're kind of there where I could just go over to people's over their heads and just film with my phone. And to watch him just sign all these autographs and me chasing him so I could get this macro footage so I could post is surreal. Or I'm pushing out other cameramen, and you got kids with cameras now in their backpacks. And I enjoy following the players and watching them grow. And
so you're boxing out underneath the boards to get video.
Yeah, footage right here, the camera, and the kids are used to
it. Do
you
ask them questions sometimes?
You know what? I didn't. My coworker did, but I do have a picture. I may send it to Rob. So. Rob can see and probably put it out in there for the
So Cooper Flagg is, I think he's out of, is he out of Maine or something? Where,
yeah, he's out of
Maine. With Montverde out of Florida.
I'm going to send you this, Rob,
and
right now.
And he is going to be, next year, he's a 6'9", 200-pound small forward. And he came out of Nokomis Middle School and high school. I don't know where that is. That must be Maine, I think. And then who was the other guy you mentioned?
Derrick Queen. He's a guy that's on IU's radar, D-E-R-I-K Queen. And he's from Maryland.
Oh, yes. It's all over. IU really wants him, huh?
Yeah.
And he's supposed to announce soon in less than 2 weeks.
So they're going to have the Geico Nationals.
He's 6'9", power forward out of Baltimore?
Yeah. He's supposed to be coming to Indiana here soon because of the Geico Nationals. Going to be in Brownsburg. So hopefully.
What's that Geico Nationals?
It'll be the National High School Basketball Tournament where Montverde's going to come down Columbus. And
IMG, all those, that kind of stuff?
If Lalamere has to play their way in, but right now they're in the tournament. They won these two games on the road, which got them in. Liam McNeely, if you Google Liam McNeely, for those that is familiar with him, he's going to IU. Big 6'7 kid, and they actually need him right now. So all these players that I'm covering, all center backs to me to the Midwest, and it's really nice to see these kids playing the Big Ten.
Why are they all coming to the Big Ten?
I guess they're paying the most.
Look at this picture, man. Is that you? Is that you interviewing?
No, that's my team leader, Zach.
And he's this from, guy right here? This is
that's Cooper Flagg.
That's Cooper Flagg. So you're 6'5", and he's 6'9". I guess the angle makes you look similar, but he's got some skills, huh?
Yeah, he's just talking to us just like the reporters. Oh, nice to meet you guys. And I'm like, hey, great game. See you soon. And so
that's a great shot right there.
Yeah,
took that?
One of my coworkers. So I got to post that in. Zach does a great job. He's from Michigan, and he stays in L.A. now, and I was happy to see him also. But, yeah, being able to be next to Cooper Flagg is moments I don't really take for granted.
Hey, I got to go.
All right.
And I know you're about done, too, so I got to be somewhere at 10.
Well, I appreciate it.
I love sitting in here, man, just talking leisurely about hoops. I did not know Purdue was getting Big Dog's son.
Yeah, he came out publicly and addressed it, and courtesy of Purdue's Twitter. When you watch Purdue,
is that a Brantley thing again, you think?
Maybe a little backdoor play,
backdoor
action, slipping on the screen play. So when you watch Purdue's intro, whoever goes to a game, you'll see Big Dog talking.
Yeah,
and now he's starting to come around, and I think it's because of Jakari Harris, and you start.
Yeah, he wasn't out of par. I don't know if there was. I don't know if there was bad blood or it just kind of drifted away. But I didn't see him at games. By the way, my wife works in the same building with Drake Morris.
Okay.
And she's like, yeah, I keep talking about this with this guy about Purdue basketball. She's a big fan. And then last week she goes, oh yeah, I'm leaving. I'm going to the game. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to the game too. And she goes, finally, what's your, he says, oh, I played there. She goes, you played there? Who are you? Oh, I'm Drake Morris. Oh, and wow. She didn't know that, but she was trying to tell Drake Morris about what Purdue needed to do in their backcourt and stuff.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, it was kind of funny, actually. But I never, you know, I see Drake there. I see Frank Kendrick.
Yeah, I don't see know if your you dad remember. There. I went when they played EKU because EKU's head coach is a great friend of mine, AW. And obviously they lost, but, you know, I wanted to see both teams and some of those games. I go to the less, you know, every game's crowded, but against EKU, I was like, let me go to this one because it was best for my schedule. But before you go, some teams are playing Friday and Saturday here in the region. For those that are looking to watch some hoops, you have Lake Central plays Valpo. That's Friday, and I believe that is going to be at Lake Central. And then I have on my radar, you have 21st Century. His name is Torrence Hayes. He's a lefty. Very great guard, plays against East Chicago. Believe that's at 21st Century. And then you have Saturday, which is a noon game. Danny Garza, I'm a huge fan of, and he was out for majority of the year. He's coming back to play here in Hammond, back in his backyard on the 23rd. Bosco plays Lalamere on the 23rd. So
oh, really? That's that, region. You know, I would go to that.
Yeah.
We got on TV, we have Munster at Hobart on Friday. That should be a pretty good game also. And then I think we got Hammond Central at Morton. You know, Morton's looking good.
I also wanted you to address, too, on the internet. They're like, well, why doesn't WJOB cover this game where every high school has their own eternal rules and every school doesn't allow streaming? Could you, like, kind of...
Well, you're getting right to the point. So we built this streaming network up, and Dewan's been around it. Rob's the main producer. Rob, maybe you can answer this for people. But I do get the complaints like, hey, you're not doing EC Central games. That's a big one. That's the biggest one. And then you're not doing Lake Central games. They're not our affiliates. We have 11 affiliates, so we do all Hobart games and all Munster games and all Andrean games, all Hammond Central games, all Hammond Martin, and go down to Griffith. Go down the list, Hanover Central, and that's who we have a contract with. It's just like you having, you know, it's just like ESPN having a contract with this company or this school or this. We don't have any relationship with EC Central or Lake Central, so we go do all of their home games.
That's what now, Greg Jones explained on defending WJOB, because obviously it's a great column to talk region basketball and that's where the conversation is centered. But Greg Jones emphasized, like, hey, like, every school is different, and a lot of these schools don't allow streaming.
Yeah, a lot of them are just, I think, Rob, we've run into this. We went with the philosophy a while ago because we noticed that. We were kind of, you know, butting up against some athletic directors, and we just said, hey, we want to go where people want us.
Right.
And you get a relationship, you build it up, and they want you there. We were going places where they were mad we were there and that kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, I don't ever want to do that about high school basketball. Just go where they want you, and that's it. And
pretty much.
Explain, Rob.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you look at it too, you know, we have all of our schools that are under our umbrella. We go there, and, you know, you have your schools that, you have your fans of those schools that want to see them play. And sometimes we get lucky enough that the games that we're doing at our specific schools are the schools that people want to see. So it works out for both people, but they're not under our certain umbrella yet. We have our 11 schools that we mentioned, including four colleges in that. But, you know, we want to continue to build it as well. So, you know, it's only time will tell is if these seasons coming up, if we end up adding more and more. But from what we have plenty of great games that we have game after game, year after year. But one thing that we do as well, which you see with Andrew Garcia, who goes out and records these games, but then makes video packages pretty much similar to what you do, Dewan, and he drops those so people can at least get a taste of what exactly happened at these games. So it is a little different. I'm sure people would like to get that. But once it comes sectional time, well, with the IHSAA, we're able to pretty much choose the location where they assign us, and that's where we end up going to stream for the entire state.
Yeah.
Explain what Greg does with G2.
He is a sports marketing business. He hosts a variety of different events. His most recent was the Mac Jokes Invitational, and then Hoops for Pink. And then he also manages Dana Evans. I think he came on a couple years ago with Dana Evans. She's in Europe getting ready to for the WNBA season. And so he does a little bit of everything, wears many hats. He's a Bishop Knoll alum, great friend of mine. That's why I'm working at Paragon, courtesy of Greg Jones.
Right, he got you the link?
He was the connection. Yeah, really? Greg Jones and was the connection because he had the CEO on his podcast, and I engineered his podcast and the opportunity to just do Twitter for Paragon at Geico in 2021, always because of Greg Jones. So, yes, the region connection. That's why I always come back and watch some hoops.
You know, isn't it kind of cool, Rob, to see the evolution of DeJuan Marrero?
Yeah, I remember when he first showed up.
Yeah. I was nervous, and now this is like me getting up shots because I don't know where the next opportunity may come where they say, hey, I need you to call a game. Now, if I didn't do WJOB, who knows what I look like calling the game.
I'm glad to see it. I mean, I'm glad to see both. I mean, I talked about Rafael Davis's level of confidence rising. Yours certainly
Jim
is.
Jim D'Lo said this famous statement a while ago. He said, man, life is about rhythm. And when I used to wake up in the morning, I had a great rhythm going in Chicago for work, right? And you got to find a rhythm that fits you in a great pace. And that's something that stuck with me. And when I do travel, that's why I come back not sick, because I found a great rhythm of where it's the nearest Subway, right? The same food that I'll get here, whether that's Jimmy John, I still get that in Massachusetts with an exception of dinner because my budget's bigger for the per diem for dinner. But I find a great rhythm when I'm traveling. So
why don't we end with that? Or we could make fun of what Rob's per diem when they go out is not nearly as big as yours is.
I appreciate Rob, man. Thanks, region man. Rush hour, right, this afternoon?
Yes, 3 to 5.
All right, man. All right. Thanks a lot, right. DeJuan. All right, man. Good job.